Good morning. Welcome to Bowmansville this morning. It's a beautiful, bright, sunshiny day. It's not raining today, which is different. So we're all glad, I'm sure, to see the sunshine. So welcome. It's good to have you here as we gather to worship the one true and living God, God who's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So would you receive this call to worship today? You can trust God today because He loves you like no one else can. He is good, and He is good all the time. But as you think about His goodness, don't miss His greatness. He is unparalleled and unprecedented. He is the center of civilization. He is the source of divine grace. His name is the only name able to save. His blood is the only power able to cleanse us from our sin. His ear is open to the sinner's call. His hand is quick to lift the fallen soul. He's the eternal lover of us all, every one of us, and you can trust Him. You can trust Him. His name is Jesus, the one we have gathered together this morning to worship. So I invite you to enter in a time of singing praises to our God as the worship team leads us in worship and song.
I'd like to start by sharing some truth about you. If you've agreed with God that you're a sinner and need a Savior, and have agreed with Him also that Christ's blood was sufficient to wash you, Colossians 2:11-15 says, "In Christ you were circumcised, not by any physical act, but by being set free from the sins of the flesh by virtue of Christ's circumcision. You shared in that, just as in baptism you shared in His death, and in Him sharing the rising again to life. And all this because you have faith in the tremendous power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You who were spiritually dead because of your sins and uncircumcision, God is now made to share in the very life of Christ. He has forgiven you all your sins. He has utterly wiped out the written evidence of broken commandments, which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it to the cross. And then, having drawn the sting of all the powers and authorities ranged against us, He exposed them, shattered, emptied, and defeated in His own triumphant victory." And also 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Join with us in singing, "People of God."
From
At this point, we'll lift the offering, which is for LMC Ministries, and also My Coins Count with the children.
Join with me in prayer as we lift up this offering. Heavenly Father, as we lift up our gifts to you, Lord, may you just bless them. And as they also go to the LMC Ministries, that you will just bless that offering to them, that it may just multiply and help them in their resources and the activities that they are in. And I just pray for all the people that are involved there as well, that you would just give them wisdom as they use this money to where it's best fit. And we just thank you again for the blessings you give us each day. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to share some verses in Isaiah 6, where Isaiah talks about seeing the Lord. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then he said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." In our next song, in the second verse, it says that all the saints cast down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. And I believe it's because they are seeing the King as he really is, and they realize that they do not deserve crowns at all. Holy, holy, holy.
We invite you to stand if you're able.
Holy, 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 Lord God. have a blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir to salvation. I am purchased by God. I am born of His Spirit, and I've been washed in His blood.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you that we can be in your presence now, but we just praise you too that we can, we're going to be nearer and nearer. And I just pray now for your spirit to guide Larry and his sharing with us, and that you would strengthen us to receive the truth with faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, greetings to each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. I'd like to extend a special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us this morning. It is a delight to have you here with us today. So if you came this morning anticipating or expecting to hear from Jake, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you're going to have to listen to me. Jake is suffering the after effects from a concussion. He bumped his head in a milk house where he was picking up milk several weeks ago, and I spoke to him on the phone on Wednesday, and his speech was slurred and he was stuttering. Thursday he called me and he said he's feeling good, plans to be here. Great. Things changed again on Friday, So I'm going to be pinch hitting this morning, so please bear with me as I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare for this message as I normally do. But before I get into the message, I just want to draw your attention to, in the bulletin, there is an outline for the November the 4th services, what we would normally call renewal meetings is going to be called Cultivating the Abundant Life. And Pastor Tony and myself will be sharing. There's an outline there for the 9 a.m. session, a reality check. Who are we? Definition of church. Going to take a look at the summary of a confession of faith in the Mennonite perspective. And we're also going to look at the demographics of our congregation. And then in session two, the path to abundant life. Pastor Tony is going to share about brokenness. Brokenness is the path to abundant life. Humility, forgiveness, and be aware of passive aggressiveness. And then session three, Sunday night at 6:30, we're going to have a concluding session, Cultivating the Abundant Life, John 10:10. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it abundantly, or have it to the full. So we're going to take a look at that. Hope, live with the spirit of hope and joy. And what is God calling Bowmansville Mennonite Church to? What is God calling you to as well? And we're going to talk about dreaming big. So plan to attend that. Put that on your calendar. Make it a priority to be here for Sunday school, November the 4th, and also the 6:30 session in the evening as well. And also, I'd like to bring you a word of greeting from Barry and Michelle Brubaker and their boys. Sandy and I had the privilege to travel to Colorado to visit them, along with Larry and Marilyn Charles. We spent 2 days with them, I think it was. Actually, yeah, it's a little more than 2 days. Anyway, we got some time to spend with them as they serve God there on the YWAM base in Colorado, Cimarron, Colorado. They're currently living in a fairly small cabin, house, whatever you want to call it. So you can imagine how life in a small house with three young, energetic boys can be at times. So I think it's fair to say that they have had and may continue to struggle with adjusting to life on the YWAM base, living in those kinds of conditions. So I think I would like to just have a word of prayer for the Brubaker family and also for Jake as he's recovering from the effects of a concussion. So please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we do come before you today. We thank you that you are a God that is in control of all things. You are a God that we can trust. You have been faithful in the past, and there's no reason for us to believe that you will not be faithful today and in the future as well. So I just want to lift up the Brubaker family to you in prayer this morning. I pray you would surround them with your presence in a powerful way. I pray you they would sense and know the call you put upon their lives. And as they continue to adjust to living in the small quarters there, I pray you would give them unity as a family, and I pray you would just empower them through your Holy Spirit to give them the physical strength, the emotional strength, and the spiritual strength to serve you and be able to see that you are with them every step of the way. I also want to lift up Jake to your throne of grace this morning, and we ask, Father God, for your healing touch upon his physical body. And I pray that his brain would heal from the effects of the concussion that he received. And I pray you would just surround him with your presence, and may he know and sense your peace, and may he sense that you're with him. And I pray that you would remove the disappointment that he had for not being able to be here today to share. So we ask for your blessing upon Jake and upon the Brubaker family. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to continue our series of sermons on the minor prophets, and we come to Zechariah. Zechariah prophesied to the people of Judah after they had returned from exile in Babylon, those 70 years of exile. Zechariah was the grandson of the priest Iddo, who had returned from Babylon with the first group of Israelites who were allowed to return under the decree of King Cyrus of Persia. And because of Zechariah's family lineage, he was a priest as well as a prophet. Because he was a priest, he would have been very familiar with the worship practices of his people. Zechariah was a young man, especially when compared to his contemporary, which Sheldon shared about last Sunday, Haggai. Zechariah came alongside of Haggai to deliver messages from the Lord to the Jewish remnant recently returned from Babylon. So Haggai's overall message had more of a cautionary tone to it, pointing out the sins and their people's self-focus. I think the title of the message last Sunday was Consider Your Ways. So I think he was asking people to consider their ways, how they were living at that time. And Zechariah's focus is more on encouraging the struggling Israelites to rebuild the temple. So Zechariah's message and visions took place in the same general time period as Haggai, beginning with a call for the people of Judah to repent. So I'd like to read Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, and the son of Iddo. The Lord was very angry with your forefathers. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Do not be like your forefathers, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Where are your forefathers now? And the prophets, do they live forever? But did not my words and my decrees, which I commanded my prophets, my servants the prophets, overtake your forefathers? Then they repented and said, the Lord Almighty has done to us what our ways and practices deserve, just as he determined to do. Zechariah warns against their tendency to be like their forefathers, who, after hearing the call to repent, didn't take it seriously. This ignoring of the call to repent was the reason for their current condition. Now, I believe we've all heard the phrase, like father, like son, which implies that children very often turn out to be just like their parents. And as a parent myself, and now as a grandparent, I've often thought about how true this phrase is. And it's very sobering to think about that. But here in the beginning of Zechariah, God is warning the people not to be like their forefathers who disobeyed God and reaped the consequences of their choices, namely punishment. We are all responsible before God for our actions. We cannot excuse, or we cannot use the excuse of what our forefathers did, or that we are trapped by our environment and circumstances to excuse sin. We all are free to make choices, and it's critical that we own our own sin and repent and ask for forgiveness and turn completely to God in obedience. So following this call to repentance, which they responded to in obedience, Zechariah receives visions from God on a restless night. In my Bible, I have a study Bible, then there's description of the vision and then the significance of the vision as well. So I'm going to just read through these things in my Bible that describe the different visions that Zechariah had. So first of all, in Zechariah 1, 7 to 17, Zechariah sees messengers reporting to God that the surrounding nations that have oppressed Judah are living in careless and sinful ease. And the significance of that vision is Israel was asking, why isn't God punishing the wicked? Well, wicked nations may prosper, but not forever. God will bring upon them the judgment that they deserve. And then in Zechariah 1, 18 to 21, Zechariah sees four horns representing the four world powers that oppressed and scattered the people of Judah and Israel. Then he sees four craftsmen who will throw down the horns. And the significance of that vision is that God will do what he promised. After the evil nations have carried out his will in punishing his people, God will destroy those nations for their sin. And moving into chapter 2, Zechariah sees a man measuring the city of Jerusalem. The city will one day be full of people, and God himself will be a wall around the city. And the significance of that vision is the city will be restored in God's future kingdom. God will keep his promise to protect his people. Then moving into chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, Zechariah sees Joshua, the high priest, standing before God, and Joshua's filthy clothes are exchanged for clean garments. Satan's accusations against him are rejected by God. And the significance of this vision is the story of Joshua the high priest pictures how filthy clothes of sin are replaced with the pure linen of God's righteousness. Christ has taken our clothes of sin and replaced them with God's righteousness. And then in chapter 4, Zechariah sees a lampstand that is continually kept burning by an unlimited reservoir of oil. This picture reminds the people that it is only through God's Spirit that they will succeed, not by their own might and resources. And the significance of that vision is the Spirit of God is given without measure. Human effort does not make a difference. The Word of God is not accomplished in human strength. It's only through the Holy Spirit. And then moving into chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, Zechariah sees a flying scroll, which represents God's curse. By God, the significance, by God's word and spirit, every person will be judged. Each individual's sin is the focus here, not the sins of the nation. Each person is responsible for his or her deeds. No one has an excuse. God's curse is a symbol of destruction. All sin will be judged and removed. And then chapter 5, verses 5 to 11, Zechariah sees a vision of a woman in a basket. She represents the wickedness of the nations. The angel packed the woman back into the basket and sent her back to Babylon. The significance of this vision is sins of the individual were judged in the last vision. Now sin is being removed from society. Sin has to be eradicated in order for to clean up the nation and the individuals. And then in chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, Zechariah sees a vision of four horses and chariots. The horses represent God's judgment on the world. One is sent north, the direction from which most of Judah's enemies came. The other horses are patrolling the world, ready to execute judgment at God's command. And the significance of this vision is judgment will come upon those who oppress God's people. It will come in God's time and at his command. And then in chapter 6, beginning at verse 9, my Bible has a heading that says Zechariah's words of encouragement. So what I gather from verses 6 to 15 is a symbolic merging of the king and the priest role in the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. The branch, Jesus, would be from David's family line. But here, Joshua, the priest, is crowned and is a symbolic representation of the branch sitting on the throne of David. Then chapters 7 and chapter 8 contain questions about fasting. For 70 years, the people have been fasting in the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months. You can read that in Zechariah 8, verse 9, 19, which I'll read a little bit later. The fasts were in mourning of the destruction of the temple. So now that it looked like the temple would again be completed, the question arises as to whether these fasts should be continued. Zechariah then draws a picture of a time when the fast would be joyful feasts. So Zechariah chapter 8, verse 19. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The fasts of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months will become joyful and glad occasions and happy festivals for Judah. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. Zechariah is saying that one day, Jerusalem will be a holy place, a place highly respected throughout the world because its people will have a change of heart toward God, and the whole world will see how God has rewarded his people for their faithfulness. And then in chapters 9 through 14, which were written after the completion of the temple, we read about hope. We read about hope after judgment is carried out on Israel's enemies. So Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of the donkey. The triumphal entry of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey was prophesied or predicted more than 500 years before it actually happened. Today we know that prophecy was indeed fulfilled. Because that prophecy was fulfilled, I personally believe that the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ's second coming will also come completely true. Chapter 14 portrays the eventual triumph of the Messiah over all the earth and his reign over God's people. So I'd like to read Zechariah chapter 14, verses 3-9. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. On that day, there will be no light, no cold or frost. It will be a unique day, without daytime or nighttime, a day known to the Lord. When evening comes, there will be light. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea and half to the western sea in summer and in winter. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord and his name the only name. The book of Zechariah contains the clearest and the largest number of messianic passages among the minor prophets. Zechariah pictures Jesus' first and second coming. Jesus will return as Savior, as Judge, and ultimately as a righteous king ruling from Jerusalem. That's what verse 9 of chapter 14 says. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day there will be one Lord, and his name the only name. So the people of Zechariah's day, who had just returned from exile, for those people, Zechariah's prophecy provided specific details about their immediate and also their distant future, which was probably a great encouragement to them. Yes, their nation would still be judged for sin, but they would also be cleansed and it would be restored. So, how do we apply that to our lives today? Do you ever struggle with discouragement? I believe Zechariah overflows with hope concerning the future reign of the Lord over his people and over the entire earth. And we just talked about it in Sunday school this morning. But isn't it very easy to get caught up in the oftentimes depressing events of everyday life? Especially if you spend any amount of time watching or listening to the news. I stopped listening and watching the news because it was having a negative effect upon me. It's like, really? Is all this stuff going on? I think we need to guard against losing our perspective and continue, or if we've not been, then start to live as people of hope. Because we do have hope. And I believe very strongly that when you and I can go through events and things in our lives, and when we can observe what's taking place in the world around us, and instead of hanging on to a spirit of fear and discouragement, we should be a people that are walking around filled with peace, filled with joy, and filled with hope. Because when other people see us walking through those situations in our lives which would cause any normal person to be depressed and discouraged, but they see us with our heads up and with a spirit of joy and peace, I believe they're going to begin to ask questions like, what do you have? Why, how do you go through what you go through and still maintain that level of joy and that level of peace? And when people ask, they're ready to listen. And when they're ready to listen, we had better be ready to share the reason for our hope. And that is Jesus Christ, the man who came and gave his life for our sins, who is resurrected from the dead and is today alive and seated at the right hand of God the Father. And one of these days, he's going to be coming back. What a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. And we can trust that he will take care of all the wrongs that we've experienced in life that we think our rights have been violated or whatever. He's going to make all those wrongs right. So as you go today, remember the truth that we have a very real, a very solid hope and anchor, and that is in Jesus Christ. And like I said, let's not forget that truth. And better yet, let's live our lives like we believe and that we do have that hope. You think about how refreshing that would be if we lived our lives that showed we have that incredible hope in Jesus Christ. That hope and a deep spirit that guides every situation in our lives. So would you join me in prayer? Father God, we do indeed thank you for your word. We do indeed thank you that one day, you are coming back. One day you're coming back to reign. You're not coming back as a little baby, but you're coming back as a conquering king. And I thank you that we have that hope and trust in you. So I pray against the spirit of discouragement for anyone here who's here this morning who experiences discouragement. I pray against that in the name of Jesus Christ, and I pray you would fill each one of us with a deep spirit of hope, fill us with joy, and help us to be prepared to share the reason that we have that hope, that joy, and that peace in our lives with anyone who may ask us about that. So I just pray for your blessing upon this congregation, and I pray this all in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, thank you very much for your attention this morning. A reminder that next Sunday we're going to be sharing in communion, so there'll be time during Sunday school for you to participate in foot washing. And then during the service next Sunday, we'll be sharing the emblems, the bread and the cup together as a remembering of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And also, this being the last Sunday of the month, the children are invited to come up and take a guess as to how much change has been collected for My Coins Count, so you can come up and submit your guess. So would you stand to receive this parting blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.